Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. And my guest today is Brandon Waddell from the UVA baseball team, which makes its triumphant return to Davenport Field this weekend for a best of three NCAA Super Regional against Maryland. Brandon, thanks for stopping by on this dreary day. How's it going, and how was breakfast at the Villa?
Doing well. It was good. You know, nice team breakfast before practice, and good way to start the day, so ready to go.
I think I read last night that you are celebrating or have celebrated a birthday this week. Is this the big 2-1 for you?
It is. It was actually yesterday. Wasn't very eventful.
Yeah, you look remarkably.
So, I mean, just, you know, hung out basically in my apartment with some teammates and stuff like that. Nothing too big. And, you know, went to bed early, trying to get back on the body clock from California. So, yeah, like I said, it wasn't anything real big.
So it took me 5 years to graduate from UVA back in the dark ages. How did you do it in three?
I was fortunate to come in with a lot of credits from high school, which made that, you know, journey a lot easier. Both summers I stayed here instead of playing summer ball, worked out with the strength coaches and was able to take a class and overloaded a couple semesters and took more than the baseline, kind of 15. But anything to really kind of get ahead. And I knew I was in reach of the 3 years, so I figured I might as well go for it.
I mean, did you set out, like when you got here, did you sit down with an advisor and say, if possible, I'd like to do it in 3 years?
I did. So I sat down with Sadie, who was our academic advisor. And we kind of mapped out the plan, knowing what I'd come in with and, you know, knowing that I was just a couple classes short of being a 4 year ahead. So we sat down and kind of, you know, I kind of had an idea of what major I wanted to do. So we said, if I were to do this major, you know, what classes or what path would I have to take in order to be a 4 year ahead? We laid it out and I was able to pretty much go follow it step by step.
So you took college classes in high school, right? So would you leave high school and go to a nearby college?
My high school, we had 7 periods in a day. And so basically instead of having first and second period, I would drive across the street. We had U of H Clear Lake, which was, I mean, if I were to walk, it'd be 5 minutes. It was literally right there. So I would just go there in the mornings and then drive from there to my high school and basically just go on a normal high school day.
So you're an economics major, or you were, right?
Yes, sir.
Graduation for the College of Arts and Sciences was on Saturday, May the 16th, when the baseball team was still in Durham for the ACC tournament. Were you able to celebrate graduation after you got back to Charlottesville that night? Did you walk on the lawn with the other schools on Sunday?
I actually did not attend that. There was also a separate graduation for the athletes that weren't able to make it on Saturday. So there were kind of a bunch of different things you could do. I mean, I really kind of just celebrated with my family out in Durham. But, I mean, it was cool to be able to complete it.
So when your baseball career is done, whenever that may be, do you plan to put the econ degree to use in the business world? Or
As of right now, that's the plan. To be honest, I haven't put much thought into it. It was just something that, you know, I wanted to accomplish. My parents were really big on education and the degree and all that stuff. So, I'm like I said before, I'm kind of glad that I was able to get it done. But to be honest, I haven't really thought about, you know, what I could use it for, or what I really wanted to pursue.
Statistically, this has not been your best season, but you're coming off a fantastic performance against San Diego State at the Lake Elsinore Regional. Did you come into the NCAA tournament looking at it as an opportunity for a fresh start for you personally, and I guess also for the team? Coming out of the ACC.
Right. Coming down kind of the trail, you know, the end of the year, I was starting to put together some strong starts, kind of gaining momentum through that. And to be able to carry that from the regular season into the postseason was a big thing for me. At that point, it's just, you know, trying to string together starts, you know, quality start after quality start. And to go out there and, you know, really be able to do that in a game that, you know, we needed it in a regional was big. And, I mean, you're looking just to, like I said, continue it and carry it on into Supers.
When you look back kind of early in the regular season, were you able to pinpoint any kind of common denominator for the games you struggled?
There wasn't anything that I could really think of that stood out. I think it was just, you know, getting back into the swing of things. There are adjustments here and there, but that comes with every season. So, I mean, I think it was just dealing with adversity and different things that maybe I hadn't gone through. So, I mean, I think it'll help now in the long run. It was, you know, tough, obviously, in the middle of the season, but to be able to, like I said, continue it down the end of the stretch and into the postseason and have quality starts there is what I'm looking at.
I think I did ask you this after the San Diego State game about kind of your track record in the NCAA, which is very impressive. 3 years, you had the game against Vanderbilt and Omaha last year. Why do you think you've pitched so well on what is, you know, the biggest stage in the sport?
I guess I like big games. And to say that, you know, as you prepare for it, you don't prepare for it any different than a, you know, a normal regular season game. I think the big thing is, though, is a lot of people make it, you know, too big. Kind of like what I had said before, and, you know, kind of maybe put too much pressure on themselves. I think you got to go into a game like that, you know, trusting in what you have, trusting in everything that you do and all everything you've done all year. So I have been fortunate to, you know, do well in the postseason and put out some quality starts, and just got to keep going.
On Twitter, you and your teammates broke out the hashtag Manifest Destiny while you were in California, which I thought was pretty clever. Do you take credit for stealing that phrase and putting it to use like that? And are you disappointed that you had to retire it so soon?
I can't take credit for that. The first person I heard say that was Joe McCarthy. So got to give credit where it's due. And it actually came up with, you know, it kind of started in ACCs. We had, you know, these words, these trigger words that you would, you know, try and put into an interview. And so when we got out there, Joe came up with one, and it was Manifest Destiny. And everyone was like, you know what, I like that a lot. You know, it's kind of funny.
Well, I can tell you, having been to all three of the press conferences, though, no one used it after the game.
Right.
They used it on Twitter. So.
Right. We tried to sneak it in there, but it was tough. It's not something that you can just really bring up in a normal question. But it was something that we liked. We kind of, you know, grabbed onto it and, like, you know, that really makes sense for us. And, you know, it just made things fun, kept things loose, and that's really the big thing in the postseason.
Much has been made of the now infamous flight home from L.A., a trip on which the Hoos shared a charter plane with the Terps. From a player's perspective, what was that like? Do you know anybody on the Maryland roster?
I don't know any of them. I mean, you know who a lot of them are just from playing them, you know, and then also watching them. But it wasn't anything that was bad. There wasn't really any tension. There wasn't anything. I mean, at that point, everyone's, you know, hey, we're going to Supers. We're going home, you know, all this stuff. And especially after a long day of delays and all this, you know, different kind of a chaotic day. You know, everyone was just kind of like, you know what, it really doesn't matter. You know, we were having fun on the plane. We were doing our normal thing, and we were just excited to get back.
But it wasn't – it was – the teams were not set up like one in the front, one in the back.
It was side by side of the aisle.
Uh-huh.
So they had boarded the plane first, and when we had gotten on, they had taken the entire right side. So the side by side was kind of determined right there, and, you know, there's – I mean, it's what they did. It's, you know, what we followed. So – there wasn't any, at least as far as I know, any purpose to that. It was just kind of how everything's set up. The plane was spacious. Being a charter flight, you know, we had basically two people to a row, so almost every middle seat was open, and people were just spreading out, relaxing.
You've been in the weekend rotation since day one as a freshman. This will be your third straight Super Regional, and you're two wins away from a second straight trip to the College World Series. Is it safe to say that your college baseball experience has been a memorable one and a positive one for you?
Without a doubt. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's something that, you know, going into it, I never dreamed that it'd be as great as it has been. It's something that has been, you know, something I'll never forget, something I can, you know, always go back to, tell stories about. You know, there have been so many things that have just really kind of helped me grow, helped me mature. You know, guys that I'll talk to for the rest of my life, just everything that you could ever want it to be, it's been. And, you know, I'm really thankful for it.
Your parents Chuck and Terry have been to a lot of UVA road games, and at the College World Series last year, they were driving forces behind the creation of Whoville, which was the RV village where parents of UVA players stayed in Council Bluffs, Iowa. What is their support meant for you, you know, as a player, and the support of other parents who get out on the road like that?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it means more than, you know, you can really put in words. Especially when, you know, being, I don't know, however many miles away from home. When I first came out here, you know, I didn't know anybody. You know, didn't even know any of my teammates before I'd gotten here. And to have their support on the road, you know, even support of all the other families that, you know, we've really met throughout the years and stuff like that, it's huge for us. They can turn, you know, a road game to make it feel almost like a home game. You know, you're out there and, you know, if you're playing in a tough road, you know, tough road opponent, tough road environment, it can be, you know, different out there. You know, you can really feel the home field advantage, you know, towards them. And to have your own parents and then your own, you know, your teammates' parents and other supporters like that, it's huge.
Council Bluffs, of course, is Brian O'Connor's hometown. Mm-hmm. When you visited your parents in the village, did you see any statues of Oak out there?
Not in the village, no. But I mean, it was cool to experience going back to Omaha with him being our coach. He's such a big figure out there, and he's really, you know, done a nice job out there. And he, you know, he has a lot of good relations out there. You can tell that he was a guy that was well liked. He was a guy that was very respectable. You know, just like he is today. You can see where, you know, it kind of stems from, and it's awesome just to go back and visit and kind of learn the history of, you know, what he had done in that area.
The team's final regular season home game was May 12th against the University of Richmond. You know, after that, Coach O'Connor and others made comments about that having been the final home game and looking forward to playing at Davenport again in 2016. Mm-hmm. Did it occur to any of the players at that point that even though, you know, you were not going to host a regional, that there was a scenario that you could end up playing back here in the Super Regional, or is that something that kind of dawned on you later?
It, you know, the possibilities always cross your mind, because I mean, if you have the chance to host, you obviously want to host. But it wasn't something that was, you know, the forefront. You know, we were looking, you know, looking forward to wherever we were going to go, to going out there playing our game, you know, being tough on the road. We'd kind of moved on past the aspect of hosting. But then, you know, as it got closer, things started going down, you know, the idea of, you know, we could host again, especially when Maryland had won their first game, right, against UCLA and stuff like that. It was, you know, if we do this and we continue on, you know, we have a good chance of hosting. And so it became more prevalent throughout the days and kind of later on through the regional, and especially obviously when we had won the regional, right, and we were watching that Maryland-UCLA game. So, I mean, it's just we're excited for it.
So what's that like? You know, you're strictly a spectator. It's late Monday night. You're in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Bottom of the ninth, I think. UCLA's got I can't remember who the home team was. Maybe Maryland was the home team. But UCLA's mm-hmm. got runners on first and third. You know that depending on how the pitch goes, you're either coming back to Davenport or you're staying out there for another week.
It was different, I can tell you that. You know, not being on the field, not experiencing it. It was a great game to watch if you had the chance to watch it. Two really good teams going out there. But, you know, at that point, it's just kind of, you know, you're not choosing a team. You're not going after anything. You're just, you know, whatever happens in the game, we'll be prepared for it. And that was kind of our mentality and our mindset going into it, that whether we are staying out in California, whether we are going home, you know, we'll be prepared for it. We're going to still play our game. Obviously, we're excited to host, and it's a big thing for us to have our home fans, our home environment, you know, being able to do your normal routine. But I think in that moment, it was kind of, you know, whoever wins, we'll be prepared for them.
You were born and raised in Houston. Your parents, I believe, are University of Houston alumni. Did you consider staying at home for college, either at Houston or someplace else in Texas?
I actually did not. And that's kind of, you know, they had already said you can't go anywhere in Houston outside of Rice. Mm-hmm. They kind of wanted me to be far enough away from home that I wouldn't be tempted to kind of drive back. So that kind of right there, and then also my experience. I had lived same house my whole life, always been in Texas. I kind of wanted to get out and experience something new. Where that would take me at that time, I had no idea. You know, I knew I wanted to play baseball. I knew I wanted to go somewhere. So outside of that, I was just kind of like, we'll see where baseball takes me if I can get the opportunity to play. And it all seemed to work out.
Was UVA at all a school of interest or for you, or did everything get initiated, you know, by the coaching staff?
It was actually initiated by the coaching staff. You know, I'd seen them play a little bit. They were a rising program that was coming up in the country, and it wasn't just out of the blue. I definitely, like I said, seen them, heard them, watched them play and all this stuff. But I had actually not talked to them at all until I received the email from the coaches.
Houston was one of the areas hit hardest by the flooding last month mm-hmm. in Texas. Was your family affected by that, or friends or anybody you know? What was it like kind of watching that from afar, as I'm sure you did?
It was a little different watching it, you know, but I was talking to some of my friends, my family, stuff back home, and, you know, kind of getting the updates on what was going on. My family in my area really wasn't affected at all. It had rained. You know, it was nonstop raining at my house, but the flooding hadn't affected. It was on the other side of Houston. So we were fortunate for that. But it's been a big thing, you know, seeing pictures all over social media, stuff like that, and getting even more updates on it. It's been crazy down there.
When I interviewed you for a story back in the spring of 2014, you told me that you were a strapping 158-pounder when you enrolled at Virginia in the summer of 2012. Mm-hmm. You've added a lot of muscle and weight since then, haven't
right.
you? Has
yes,
that
sir.
Just been a steady process? And what do you weigh now?
I'm right around the 180, 185 mark now. It was definitely exponential when I first got here, how much I was able to put on. And like, I kind of going back to when I was able to stay here both summers instead of going to
and
summer ball.
Weights.
Right. It helped a lot. You know, it's kind of, I gain a lot this summer, and once I hit season, I kind of, you know, maintain that, and then it kind of goes that same process. But yeah, I've been fortunate to grow a little bit, you know, kind of mature a little bit. I was really not physically mature when I first got here, and it's just been a fun path.
While we're talking about weight gain, how many times did you hit In-N-Out Burger during your stay in California?
Too many. Probably a lot more than I should have. I think I went maybe four times, which isn't, I guess, too bad. But, of course, when my family had gotten out there, my aunt had never had it, so we had to take her. My sister wanted to go, and then we had the times with the team. There's one close by the hotel. It was just kind of everywhere. It's something, you know, you got experience out there, and it was good, so you keep going back.
Would you be surprised to learn that the voice of the Cavaliers, young Channing Poole, ate about 28 In-N-Out Burgers during his stay?
Surprised, no. but I don't know how you do that. he's definitely one that enjoys, you know, he likes his foods, and I can see it as, you know, it's pretty quick and it's good. It's kind of funny. I'll have to bring that up to him. I sit right behind him on the bus, so I'll have to mess with him a little bit about that. I did not know that was the number, but thank you.
Well, I know you got to run to practice, so let me ask you one final question. The Major League draft is next week, and after 3 years here, you're obviously draft eligible. I know your focus right now is on the Super Regional and then hopefully the Omaha, but what are you hearing in terms of your kind of draft prospects and –
I honestly don't really know. I know that there are teams that are interested. But beyond that, I'm, like you kind of said, I'm trying to focus on, you know, this season and the Super Regionals coming up, and everything else beyond that will kind of take care of itself, in my opinion. You know, you do what you can, you know, really take care of what right. you can control, and everything will work out. So I haven't been putting too much attention into it, too much focus into it, and kind of just focused on our team and, you know, what we can do.
Well, great. Well, thanks again for stopping by. Best of luck this weekend. We'll see you at Davenport.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We are at the tail end of the 2014-15 year for UVA athletics, and only two teams are still competing, baseball and track and field. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for information on all 25 of our teams, and thanks for listening.